Call the Answer Line, where you're the head honcho, the big cheese, top dog, big man, mighty boss, and you can tell us exactly where to go.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks for PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
Media Network, Radio Netherlands Weekly Communications Review with Jonathan Marks.
Hello, and let's see what we can squeeze in over the next 30 minutes or so. The postbag's been bulging, I'm glad to say, and there's also been a healthy response to the fax line. But first, this.
Now, time for DXer's Nightmare.
Yes, a quick sneak repeat of the contest we broadcast last week. Remember, we've got copies of the 1992 World Radio TV Handbook to give away to six lucky contestants. You have to identify six interval signals, those little snippets of music that stations broadcast as an aid to tuning them in, usually just as they sign on. To make it a bit more tricky, though, we'll give you them three at a time, and one of them each time will be backwards. So here come the first three. Michael Williamson of Perth in Australia complained that that selection was too easy, except that he got two wrong. Sorry, Michael. Now, the second batch. Now, if you recognised all those interval signals, you should have the names of six countries. Write them down on a postcard together with your name and address. We also want to know how many years you've been listening to this particular programme. Put your entry in the post and make sure it's postmarked by this Saturday at the latest. Send your entries to this address. Media Network, Radio Netherlands, P.O. Box 222, 1200 JG in Hilversum. To the news, and several callers to the answer line have reported that Radio Polonia has changed its name back to Polish Radio Warsaw, and at the same time major cuts have been announced effective on Saturday. Mirosław Lubonia is Deputy Director of Polish Radio in Warsaw.
As you know, the external services of the Polish Radio are financed from the state budget. With the tremendous budget deficit which Poland now faces, our funding has also been cut. That is, we will discontinue as of February the 1st our broadcast in French, in Swedish, Finnish, and in Italian. Unfortunately, for the time being, the decision is final.
That leaves programs in Polish, English, German, Russian, Lithuanian, Belarusian, Ukrainian, and Esperanto still on the air, but in some cases trimmed down. German is cut by 30 minutes, English by an hour. Although the broadcasts in Russian and Ukrainian will get an extra half an hour each. But why are they suddenly related to their former name of the Polish Radio Warsaw, dropping the name of Radio Polonia?
You know, the word Polonia is slightly misleading because Polonia means people of Polish origin only. And many people here in Poland and also outside Poland identify this station with a station broadcasting only to and for Polish people or people of Polish origin living anywhere in the world. Another factor is that throughout the martial law period, Radio Polonia was identified with very sad, I would say, and regrettable developments. We just want to break off with it and to return to the finest traditions of the Polish radio external services.
To another continent now, North America, and WWCI Nashville, Tennessee, has changed around the time that it airs the media programme World of Radio, produced by Glenn Hauser. You can find it in Europe on Fridays at 21:30 UTC on 17525 kHz, 17525 with fairly good signals.
And WWCR has kindly inserted another additional airing for World of Radio. It's UTC Saturdays 0630 on 7435 kilohertz.
Radio Netherlands, Continental Talk Radio.
Talking of the continent, it's amazing how many countries claim to be at the heart of Europe. Geographically, Switzerland's claim isn't too suspect, though. So what's their external radio service up to?
In fact, things are moving. We try to find the best possible way into the future, and there will be a future, no doubt.
The optimistic voice of Walter Funkhauser, who's head of public relations at Swiss Radio International in Bern. After a long-term study, SRI has announced major changes as from March 29th. That's the date for the introduction of European summertime. It seems that they'll be introducing two separate streams to their output. One channel will be aimed at the roughly 470,000 Swiss living abroad permanently, plus a further 1 million people on a short trip, and those programmes will be in German, French and Italian. The other channel will be for foreigners interested in Swiss developments. The priority there for the programmes will be in English, French, Spanish and Arabic.
If they want Switzerland, they will get Switzerland. If they want an interpretation from Switzerland about international affairs, they will get an interpretation, a Swiss interpretation of international affairs and so on. Swissness is really the point we want to put an accent on.
I noticed that you're mentioning Portuguese and Esperanto. Does that mean that they're going by the wayside?
Well, Portuguese will be excluded from the shortwave schedule. Esperanto will be excluded from the shortwave schedule. And the reasons are clear, at least to us. Portuguese, we did a Portuguese service for long, long periods, but we did not distinguish between Portuguese for Brazil, Portuguese for Portugal, Portuguese for Africa. So instead of respecting with different services all these different areas, and they are different, the one from the other, we said we concentrate on a new interpretation of our possibilities in the Portuguese-speaking area. We concentrate on Brazil. Brazil is a big market, but it should concentrate on the Brazilian language, and we should go to the stations themselves in this area and try to offer what we have to offer. If they want to accept what we have to offer, the better. If they do not, what chance would you have in shortwave?
Indeed, since the famous Brazilian-made shortwave radio, the Transglobe, was discontinued, surveys carried out by the BBC and USIA in Washington show very small audiences to shortwave wireless.
As to the Esperanto, we used Esperanto for so many years. We started in 46. We interrupted once in 64. We reintroduced it because there were reactions from the Esperanto listeners. The reactions then were justified because in the Eastern European countries there were many, many Esperanto listeners, and this was for us a non-political language listened to and learned by these European listeners. But now there's no need. You can communicate in other languages. And English, no doubt, is one of the most important, or is the important, international, worldwide communication language.
And what about your announcement that you're going to go on Astra to Europe? What's that about?
Yeah, we started last year with a service for local radio stations in Europe. We offered them English bulletins, French bulletins, German and so on. We have some stations in tourist areas receiving our German news bulletins.
But these are coming off shortwave?
No, the fact was that we did previously some research in these areas, and we discovered that they would not like the shortwave quality on an FM station, and this is comprehensible. So the question was how to bring this signal to the local stations interested in our programs, and we said, well, for the moment, if we do not dispose of the satellite, we have to bring it through a telephone line. We have one station, two stations, three stations, one. If you multiply the stations, you multiply the price, the complete price, and at the end, we've seen that the price for a couple of stations is as high as a satellite channel, and PDT agreed and said, okay, take a channel, at least now as a service, a distributing service for the local stations. But as it is Astra, it's also a possibility of direct reception, and we hope that this will develop in the next year.
The exact details you need are these. Swiss Radio International will be on Astra 1A, 19.2 degrees east, Transponder number 9H, the frequency 11.332 gigahertz, and the subcarrier frequency 7.2 megahertz. On the shortwave side, SRI continues to hire airtime from Africa number 1 in Gabon to reach South America, but they've now committed themselves to a transmitter at the existing Radio France International site in northern South America.
There will be a relay station in French Guiana from 93-94 on.
You bought a transmitter at the Radio France site, is that the way it works?
The station will be built together with the Télédiffusion de France for Swiss Radio International and other stations, mainly Radio France International. And as a matter of course, if you do really run a station so near to the reception area, you do not need a station in Gabon for that specific area, but the station in Gabon will continue broadcasting down to South Africa. The station in French Guiana will not be a station just and exclusively for Latin America, but also for Australia and Southeast Asia and so on, and North America. It's the first time that we partly own a relay station. This will be on a period of, if I'm not mistaken, about 10 years.
With an annual budget of 22 million francs for programming and 70 million francs for the technical side, SRI hasn't given up the fight for finding a better shortwave transmitting facility within Switzerland itself. However, each time a new and larger site has been selected, environmental objections have been raised by local groups. As from this year, Swiss living abroad can now vote, and this has given a new reason for SRI to want to reach its own nationals.
You have a look at the situation in Europe. More than 50% of these people live in Europe, and Europe is the place where things happen. This year, next year, and in the next years. And Swiss people living in these countries will insist in participating in the decisions our country will take concerning Europe and the integration in Europe. So this is a fundamental, a new task to us.
What lies behind the truth? Radio Netherlands investigates.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. I'm a little disturbed by the emphasis that Radio Netherlands and some other shortwave stations seem to be putting on satellites to deliver their programs to the general listener. I think satellite reception is a very narrow, very elitist activity. How many people, even if they have the money for satellite equipment, have a place to put up a satellite dish? Certainly much fewer people than can ever have a shortwave receiver. So I do not think this is a substitute for shortwave. Why can't Radio Netherlands use the Bonaire and Madagascar transmitters to reach Europe, just as you use FLAVO to reach North America?
I can answer that one, Tim. The answer is that we don't have antennas for Northern Europe in either Bonaire or Madagascar, and these relay stations are already running to their maximum capacity, beaming to other targets, such as Africa in the evening hours. OK, next caller, and who do we have?
Hi, Jonathan. This is Alan Jarvie from East Kilbride in Scotland. Just to say, I've been tuning through the shortwave band, and today is Thursday, and have picked up Radio Caroline broadcasting via the transmitters of Radio Fax. They also claim to be broadcasting on satellite, but I can't find it anywhere in Astra, therefore it must be a Eutelsat. They give out an address of Radio Caroline, P.O. Box 1514, London, W72LL. They promise for sending a correct reception report along with an international reply coupon, you will receive a special QSL card with a picture of the Ross Revenge.
Well, that ship is still firmly anchored in a British harbour. Trevor Brook, who runs Radio Fax, tells me that the programme isn't coming live from the ship.
All we're doing is we've played in the sort of archive programme thing we do, we've played some old programmes of Caroline that have been on the satellite back in November and December. They are recorded by genuine people, like DJs who've been on the boat when it was offshore,
mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say they were actually genuinely recorded on the boat, because it's totally silent studio, and some of the programmes on the satellite have definitely been recorded on the boat, because you can hear the generator popping away.
And that offshore archive material runs alternate Wednesdays, also into part of Thursday, on Radio Fax, broadcasting from Ireland on 6205 and 3910 kHz.
We're interrupting programs to make the following announcement.
The town of Hilversum, Holland, was marked on millions of radios sold in Europe back in the days when wirelesses got warm, and the name of the stations were clearly marked on the radio dial. Sometimes it was the place where the studios were. Sometimes it was the transmitter site. Very shortly, the BBC shortwave transmitting station at Burrow Hill in Daventry is to close down, ending 67 years of continuous scheduled broadcasting. BBC World Service is only 60 years old, but Daventry started on medium wave long before they thought of an empire service. Giles Herbert is one of the organisers of a special amateur radio event.
Well, when we heard that Daventry as a broadcasting station was to close down, and having driven past and looked up onto the hilltop and seen 100-metre masts and when working on the site, looked at the curtain arrays, it occurred to us that if we were lucky enough to be granted permission, we might be able to get some of these aerials to radiate signals on amateur bands.
On the air, if you have a little time to spare, you'll enjoy each minute, I'll declare, while we're on the air.
We followed this up, and we have subsequently gained the necessary permissions from the BBC, and we propose to use some of the aerials on amateur bands for a celebration station.
Very nice. Now, they pull the big switch on Daventry, I believe, at the end of the winter schedule, just as we change in Europe to summertime. Now, that's what, March 28th, 29th?
That's correct, as I understand it.
So what happens then, after they've used it for broadcast purposes? You move in or what?
Well, that's right, and our intention is to work from Daventry on the following two weekends, the 4th and 5th and the 11th and 12th of April.
The exact frequencies haven't been announced yet. You'll need to scour the 80, 40, 30, 20 and 15-metre ham bands. The call sign they'll be using is a combination of a number of things. Back in 1925, when medium wave broadcast stations in the UK had call signs, 5XX was the call sign assigned to Daventry. As I said, the transmitter site's been operating continuously for 67 years, and the UK authorities issue the amateur prefix GB for special event stations.
So the call sign will be Golf Bravo 67 X-ray X-ray.
Oh, it sounds a marvellous idea, and I presume after you finish, then they pull it all down.
Well, the site is of archaeological interest. Its history goes back, I believe, to pre-Roman invasion. Many centuries ago. The site is going to lose all but one of its masts, I understand, and it will be looked after by a group called English Heritage, who have responsibility for these sort of sites in this country.
Giles Herbert on the line from the UK. Now we nip down under from where Brian Clark in Auckland faxed us with this message.
Here in New Zealand, there's been quite a lot of press coverage concerning a radio station operating on the island of Bougainville. Bougainville is the largest of the Solomon Islands and is located in the southwestern part of the Pacific. The island belongs to Papua New Guinea, but it's under a blockade by the PNG government because of a secessionist rebellion. It appears from my monitoring in Auckland that the pro-rebel clandestine station is a shortwave operation. On Tuesday at 08:59 hours UTC, I heard Radio Free Bougainville operating on 3880 kHz. The signal was weak, and most of the broadcast was in Pidgin English. However, there were some English announcements. The station claimed to be on 3890 kHz, but the frequency was definitely 3880. The power of the transmitter can't have been more than a kilowatt, comparing it with signals from regular stations in Papua New Guinea. Radio Free Bougainville requested that reception reports be sent to Sam Voron, Australia, 2069. I presume the postcode's enough for letters to reach this person.
A Radio Australia report on January the 26th said that the station, located in Arawa, was being financed by church groups in Fiji and Australia in cooperation with the International Amateur Radio Network. BBC Monitoring in Caversham Park, England, also heard the transmission between 0750 and 1120 UTC on 3880 kHz this past Tuesday. Their monitors in the region also heard another announcement, as Richard Meesham of WBI explains.
Apart from the local broadcast on 3880 kHz, the radio announced worldwide broadcast on an upper sideband frequency between 21450 and 21500 kHz at 2300 and 0600 to the Americas, 0400 and 0700 to Africa, Asia and the Pacific, 1300 and 1400 to Europe. Letters can be sent to the Humanitarian Aid Coordinator, P.O. Box 1203, Honiara, Solomon Islands, fax number 677-20736.
That person behind the address in Australia demands $5 for a QSL card and a copy of the station's licence. If we'd done that when we'd started broadcasting way back in 1927, I guess this transmission would probably be coming from a secluded island in the Caribbean. Come to think of it, maybe it is.
Media Network, putting the bang into World Bang Radio.
At least that's what it sounds like in SSB.
A few weeks back, we carried an item by Bob Tomolsky about the launch of a new 16:9 aspect ratio television set here in Europe. About 1,000 have been sold in Holland at $5,000 apiece. I asked Bart Kuperus, who's associate editor of the World Radio TV Handbook in Amsterdam, whether there are plans for widescreen television broadcasts.
Yes, there are concrete plans. The NOS, the Dutch NOS, is going to broadcast widescreen D2 MEC transmissions on the new Eutelsat 2R3 on 16 degrees east from the Winter Olympics in Albertville in France. These broadcasts will be 12 hours a day, and they are mainly intended for a big promotion campaign of Philips in the Netherlands. They are going to install widescreen D2 MEC television sets in consumer electronic shops, and therefore they need D2 MEC transmissions to be shown on those television sets. So the NOS has been asked to provide that service, and now 12 hours a day as of the 8th of February. It's not like any program coming in regular PAL from any of the other international national broadcasters. There are not very many individual viewers in the Netherlands who have a D2 MEC widescreen television set.
Will it be scrambled?
It will not be scrambled, because the widescreen D2 MEC television sets of Philips do not have a smart card reader, so you cannot insert a smart card for decoding an encrypted D2 MEC signal.
And now, these Olympics, of course, are only for a short period. What do you expect to happen afterwards?
Well, afterwards, it's still not very clear, but the NOS has started a consortium together with some other companies to provide at least 4 hours of D2 MEC programming daily. And the programming will consist mainly of feature films. And it's very likely that these programs will be encrypted because of copyright reasons, of course.
Is that the same transponder that will carry the Olympics?
Yes, that's the same transponder 34. That's in the 11 gigahertz range. That's the Q1 band on the new Eutelsat 2F3 on 16 degrees east. The frequency will be 11.675 gigahertz, horizontally polarized.
Thank you, Bart. Now quickly over to Sri Lanka, where Victor Gunatilaka is standing by in Colombo. Victor, I understand that Russia may be selling shortwave airtime to more than one religious broadcaster.
Well, yes, indeed. I was quite surprised, but the Back to the Bible people in Sri Lanka, who produce a singular broadcast, and currently that goes over FEBA in the Seychelles. Now, they are interested in getting a morning broadcast. That's around midnight 30 UTC into Sri Lanka. And they have contacted the former Soviet Union, and they are indeed very excited, and something should come off with their negotiations. And they tell me the fee asked by the former Soviet Union states is just a fraction of what they are paying FEBA in the Seychelles. So things seem to be happening where relay swaps and things are concerned, Jonathan.
Have you heard anything out of Iraq lately, though?
Well, yes, indeed. I have noted Baghdad on a new frequency. That's 11710 with their main Arabic service. And this frequency comes on at 1500 UTC with clock chimes and station identification in Arabic. The program is parallel to 4605. Unfortunately, I have not been able to get any English broadcast from Baghdad at a very convenient time here in South Asia.
Right, last time we talked to you, Victor, you mentioned the time signal station in New Delhi had gone off the air. Has it come back?
Well, Jonathan, we got in touch with the ATA New Delhi authorities, and Professor Das Gupta, he was surprised that people were listening to the station, and he did tell us that in December they decided to shut down the shortwave time signal frequencies. But suddenly, we are hearing the station back on the air, so it seems the special interest shown in ATA by Radio Netherlands has put it back on the air.
Good gracious, we're affecting world events. Now, what about one final item on shortwave?
Well, there's a very interesting development here at SLBC, or the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation. A very helpful engineer is back at SLBC, and he's the Deputy Director General of Broadcasting now. He's Lal Herath, and he's a friend of Shortwave DX's, and he's welcoming all reception reports to the SLBC. So if you have had problems getting a QSL, you could send a report to Mr. Lal Herath. That's Lima Alpha Lima, Lal and Herath, Hotel Echo Radio Alpha Tango Hotel, Lal Herath, and he's the Deputy Director General of Broadcasting at SLBC, PO Box 974, Colombo. He's especially interested in the external service reception of SLBC, and he also informs me that a special test transmission will take place in early February from midnight 30 to 0400. That's midnight 30 to 0400, the frequency being 11825, with the All Asia Hindi service running parallel to 11800.
Victor Kunatilaka on the line from Sri Lanka. A press conference in Cologne, Germany, was given yesterday by Deutsche Welle's Director General, Dieter Weyrich. He said Deutsche Welle wants $18 to $30 million to increase broadcast to Eastern Europe to compete with similar operations currently running by the BBC, Radio France International and The Voice of America, to name but few. Powerful United Germany wants to play a bigger role in Europe and sees democratization in the East as a chance to assert itself politically, economically and culturally. The Deutsche Welle expansion plans include leasing an FM station in Sofia, Bulgaria, to reach an estimated 2 million Bulgarians, and increasing cooperation with local radio stations to broadcast Deutsche Welle programs in German and East European languages. Weyrich also said that the German and US governments were close to signing an agreement handing over control of RIAS Television in Berlin to the Deutsche Welle. The Americans set up RIAS Radio and Television in their zone of divided Berlin just after the war, and the stations have become a staple of the German airwaves. Weyrich said that he expects that the handover of RIAS will be completed by May, and that the German-run RIAS Television would then provide an information service promoting German-US relations. RIAS Radio will be sold off. Well, this Sunday, delegates from around the world gather in Malaga, southern Spain, for a worldwide conference called WAC 92, an important one for the future of international radio. Next week, full coverage. Join us then.
Fax the facts to Hilversum, 724-352.
Waiting for you. Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1992.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.